Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of press. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are previewing Winter Championship Day at Flemington. It is finals day in July, early on in July. Nico, he's got the footy on. Everything's happening at Racing Previews HQ on a Thursday night. Gee whiz, you can tell it's winter because it is bloody freezing out there.
It is a bit cold.
Very, very grateful for hot water and heaters. Fellas,
hot
how are we
water
doing?
And heaters.
Yep.
I'm grateful for Twitter. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
I'm just relevant 24/7. I have just been the talk of the Twitter sphere ever since last week.
I don't know. How did you even come up with that quote?
Well,
about the bad ride.
That was brilliant.
It's all time quote.
It's just the epitome of Twitter to begin with. Like, everyone's forgetting that I declared opportunistic, $4 put in, take out, moral, one and done, happy days on the Saturday evening. And then we get to Sunday. T Waters was a sick beat, should have won, interference cost it. And then Enchanted Al has copped a very questionable ride. I don't understand how there's not been a suspension involved. And then we have the Mighty Spa, which is $2 into $1.45 in the following race, should have been an absolute fill up, and it wasn't. But everyone's come for me because Enchanted Elves had Willie Gordon have a nap on it. It was going that good, and it's gotten beat by one of Musgrove's slow horses. And yeah, that's I'm the one. At the end of the day, it was a great tip. The quote's absolutely true. That was not on me. The tip was fantastic. The ride was horrible. I can't ride it.
Don't you always tell me that you...
Saturday evening, it was tipster and rider that combined perfectly.
Don't you but always anyway. Tell me that you like if you like betting SP means nothing if you don't win then
it doesn't mean anything
bet.
Unless it wins. But
yeah, well then it wasn't a good bet then.
We need to get the gif of 50 Cent. On Nico's head when he says, why you say F me for?
Anyway, it's just very, very convenient. A lot of these accounts have been made very recent and probably all the same person, to be honest. But anyway, they can continue to be Timu Tough behind their fake profiles and just obsess over me. That's fine.
Yeah, I made mine like a week ago.
Yeah, well, that's fun.
I reckon mine's about a month old. Yeah. Nico, if you didn't know this already, you are an extremely divisive character. So it doesn't matter if you're going to tip winners or losers.
100%. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really bother me, but that doesn't make it right because the next person who cops it might not be able to handle it. So anyway, it's good. I'm rent-free in everyone's head 24/7, not just on weekends, and that's just how it is. Just all part of the fame that I've got to deal with.
Oh, mate, stop. There's a line, mate. You're crossing it. Stop it, please.
Oh, that's gold.
There's only so much gold I can cop.
His head's going to explode soon. Soon we'll.
I'll tip up a storm this weekend, and they'll still find a reason to come for me. So fuck them.
What time are you on SEN track tomorrow? 12:45.
Yeah.
Haven't they got rid of you yet?
These keyboard warriors wouldn't be able to get reception out in bumfuck Idaho where they're listening from. So anyway,
you know, I'm technically making my TV debut tomorrow.
You've got a head for radio.
Oh, and radio.
Making a TV debut.
Yeah, no, because RSN is on
racing.com.
Yeah, on racing.com on Thursdays and Fridays. So
what time?
10:40.
Sweet, I'll make sure I miss it.
What time are you on radio tomorrow, Bot?
Bot's actually going to be clipping up videos of me on RSN. How would that make you feel?
God.
One day, Bob. One day you'll get there.
I better have a shave and maybe put some decent.
Yeah, could have gone for a haircut.
Nah.
Look at that bum 1 month. Fluff.
Every month. I'm not like you getting one every week.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, shall we move on to some racing? Flemington, it's a massive day.
Well, we can't talk about me or podcast this week. How many disposals did you have on the weekend? did you regress?
Quiet game. Regress to the mean.
Absolutely.
Be tagged
regressed.
On us.
Oh, wasn't tagged.
So
but,
basically what you're saying is you're observer. You put in a big spike rating and all the fame was on you and you blew up.
I didn't regress that hard. I regressed to the mean. Yeah. But yeah, my opponent let me know that I wasn't gonna get 50 this week.
He's got the hard tag.
Put it that way. All right, let's get on to some racing. Flemington, it's a lovely 9-race card. That's more than we can say compared to last week. Soft 7 at the moment, and the rail goes back to the true position. Hallelujah. It's not exactly drying conditions, but the track might get a little bit drier. We did have a bit of a downpour on, what was it, Tuesday
Wednesday.
Night? Wednesday.
Randall Wednesday.
Yeah, all of Wednesday. So, yeah, I would expect we might be racing on a 6. Start in race 1, 1,200 metre 2-year-old race, quality. It's a quality handicap, and I agree with them. Number 1, Bakash, is the $2.50 favourite from Job Done. Did exactly that Job Done on debut, $3.10. Amazingly, was Snitzel's last winner before he sadly passed away. Obviously, he'll have more winners that are on the ground already. Jimmy Ricard is $6, Street Artist also $6, and Blevlin, $13. Will Bott, we're going head-to-head here.
Are we?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's a good race, good day of racing on Saturday. It's competitive, good betting card. I thought that Job Done should be favourite. I love the late time it ran. It's a half to Pivot City, and I have had a... Actually, no, he's been all right, but hopefully...
No, we've had enough of him.
No, he won first up for me, so that was good. That was a good result. So I can't... But he should have won that day, Geelong or Bendigo, whatever it was. Anyway, yeah, I'll be backing Job Done. At 320 is a more than fair price. I think he should be closer to favourite. And I think he should be favourite over Bakash.
All right, I'm backing Bakash. I thought he's just come back much more improved 2-year-old, but he just seems to have got his head right. His first preparation, he was throwing it around, doing a bit of funny stuff in the run. And last start, just went straight to the front. Ran them into the ground over 1,200 metres at Cranbourne. Obviously, Cranbourne is a track that you can lead and win at. And, you know, it is a highly advantageous to do so. That's what we've seen in the past. But the big tick in his favour is that he has ticked that 1,200 metre box. He's got a good run down the straight behind Tycoon Star and a few others who went on to do some good things, including what was the Lindsay Park horse?
Warrior something, Warrior Smile.
And yeah, I just think from barrier seven, he would just go straight to the front here and job done. Might have his work sort of cut out for him trying to get him in that final 400 metres. So I'm really happy with Bakash on top. Nico, did you have any thoughts?
Well, my two cents is I think there's two winning chances and you're both on it. You should have a dinner bet because now it's my turn to get the sweet end of the deal. Bot already owes a steak dinner.
You get Macca's, mate.
We need to organise that steak dinner. But you should have a side bet.
I'm happy to have whatever side bet. I've got about 60 cents in my favour, but...
Oh, well. Bot backs himself.
Yeah. Right, no, I've got enough on this thing.
Oh, you're just... Just real sit to piss, babe.
Whatever. Fuck, whatever.
Every time
really
I have a disagreeing like bet with someone, I don't have to have a fucking dinner on it. I've already had enough on this thing. You could have had more on.
You could have a Guinness on it. You don't have to have a steak dinner.
No, whatever. Sure.
No, you've already chosen to sit down, so that's all right.
I don't drink that black liquid death stuff. Race two is the Targ Rossi Series final 2-year-old listed event over the mile. Buccleuch. I'm hoping I said that right. He's $1.80 favorite. He's got the 59 kilos. Cora, $4.40. Bayou Music, $7. And then way up to $16 and longer the rest. We don't necessarily have any bets in this race as yet, but what do we think of this favorite, Will?
Well, I don't like it because I backed it at 34s to beat High Vol, and then it knocked me off on Observer. So I'm not a fan of this horse, but it is clearly favourite. I think this race is really well. I think look, the whole meeting really is really well priced up. Mm. But yeah, I think he's like a $2.10 chance, and then everything else is about its right price. I couldn't tip you into anything. I think the pace will be slow. What they should do on Arcora is go to the lead and make it a bit of a test. Bayou Music won well. Has a bit of a sprint, but it probably goes back from the wide barrier. It's a really gross race. Sky Deal's being gelded. Tyson owns Sky Deal. It's a nice enough horse, I think. It was wide the whole way last start. Can improve, but not a race I want to be involved in.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Look, $1.80 is probably short enough for me to want to be backing it outright. I might take the shortest double of the day, and that is race two, Buccleuch, into race six, She's an Artist, and if you get $3.50 for that or $3.20 for that, then that's probably the way I'm going to play it. I just think despite the fact that he goes up to 59 kilos, I don't think any other horse in this race is looking for the mile as much as him. Pretty keen. Race three is a quality listed race yet again, over 1,200 metres. It's the Santa Ana Lane Sprint Series final. Marble 9 is going for 3 on the bounce. The last time it lost is the time that I was on the heaviest, so that might say something. Parade is $3.70 from Inhibitions, $4. Joyful Fortune, can he win at $1,200? $5.50. She Dances in the new colours is $11. And Thespian Waters, $12. Bot, what have you found here?
I like Parade in this. I thought that, he gets the non-winner tag. He's won, what has he won? Like, He's not a prolific one. He's won four of his 26 starts. Marble 9's the one that'll, he'll run his rating. He'll notch up that number. But I just think if you look at Parade's 1,200 metre ratings, you've got, so you go through them all. He's run 96.1, 97.8, 96, 96.3, 96.6, 97.3, 94.2, end of prep run. And that was at Flemington. So maybe some people will be turned off by that. But, the market loved him that day, probably an end of prep run after a long campaign, and then first up 93.2 and then 90.4 last start in a slowly run race, got too far back and ran home in some nice splits. So I'm just looking at this. I'm thinking he's a really, really consistent horse at 1,200 metres, and if he runs that number, he'll win this. So I'm quite keen on Parade. I think he should be clearly favourite over Marble 9, who I don't think can get to that number. He's a model of consistency, but... and he'll lead and he'll get all the things in his favour. So he's a box ticker. People will like him for that. But I think Parade is the one where the value is, and I think he should be favourite. Inhibitions is first up. But I thought it was easy enough to be against her. there, and then, you know, joyful fortunes there or thereabouts, but I couldn't have him shorter than the price he is now. And if the others knock me off, then they knock me off. But Paray is pretty easy to be on fourth up at Flemington over 1,200 metres.
Dirty, rotten Paray. I remember when we backed him, we absolutely launched him at Moonee Valley one day. The track just happened to be playing in his favour, and he just cruised on the outside and won as he pleased with Damien Lane in the saddle. Give him strength. Race four is the Silver Bowl Series final, 1,600 metres. This time it's for the three-year-olds. Noble As is $2.30. Is that how you say it, you reckon?
Yeah.
Or Nobalas? I'm not really sure.
I'd say probably Noble As.
Noble As, $2.30. Cal Callow, been up a long time now. He's $5.50. Ever Rain, $6. From a Distance, $7. Second to Taken last time. That's got to be good form. And Darkbone is $11. Bot and Nico are both betting in this race. We'll start with you, Will.
Yeah, I think there's not a whole lot of speed in this race, and I think that Noble As can pretty much, I think, settle outside lead, or maybe they'll sit behind, so you will. The main dangers, obviously, in the market, Dark Bonnie and from a Distance, I think they'll be taken back to the rear of the field. Calcala will be probably prominent, and the one that's been well supported early in the market, Ever Rain, who was wide at Cranbourne, which is never ideal, made it sustained a long run, but it was a slow pace, and you know, I think it's the one that it's the different form that people might go looking for, but I think this Noble As is pretty good, and it gets the echo cast on. It's a little bit gross. Michael Kent came out on Twitter. You put it, posted about it on Twitter. And he came out and said, which was really good of him to do that.
Did you tweet from the Racing Previews page or your personal page?
Racing Previews, but he knows that the Racing Previews page is me.
Yeah, that was good of him just to clarify what the deal was with that. And the horses had, you know, the horses had bar plates on in its career. They'd taken them off. It's obviously got some sort of issue, whether he wanted to say that or not on Twitter, but you know, they're there for a reason. But it's had the bar plates on and off its whole campaign. It's not like anything news happened. I wouldn't have thought. I think that Echocast is just to maintain the hoof, and I don't know the complete details of it. It's probably not an ideal scenario, but I think that the setup of the race, I think it's going to settle outside there, get a really comfy time of it, and I think it's quite a talented horse with Jamie Malham going on. So it's pretty comfy. I think you probably get better on the day, maybe 260, and that's a good bet.
Nico and Bot agreeing is what I'm reading here.
Well,
rare.
I do. It's in his best interest that we agree, because good things happen when he comes to Mr. Sensible.
How do you say that shit without laughing?
Oh, because it's the truth.
As long as you believe it, mate.
It's fact and figures. It's not me. Anyway. I think it's definitely the horse to beat. My sort of query at the moment, I want to see what the price sort of does come Saturday. First time, it's going to be a relatively wet track. So that's my sort of knock. And it's deep into its first preparation. So, yeah, I think it still deserves to be favourite and the one to beat, but is a couple of queries for me.
I'll just throw one up as well. Mm-hmm. I thought that Southby was enormous at Moi. Sustained a massive, massive, massive run. It'll be last year, so it's probably going to run on, but if you want to chuck it in exotics or back it to place or something, I think, you know, it's probably going to jump 100-1. I thought that win at Moi was exceptional, and that it could massively improve and be quite a nice horse, actually.
Yeah, right. Named after Jeff Southby, former footy player, like most of these horses are. Noble As, I just thought we might be getting a little bit better odds for her. She's obviously jumping straight up from a benchmark 70 to this sort of open three-year-old grade where there is some decent form around. So there's a chance I'm on. I do like Jamie Carr going on. She's Jamie Mallon. Come on, boys. It's been a couple months now at least. Jamie Mallon, she's
That's
a
That's why
terrific...
you just say Jamie.
Jamie Carr just rolls off the tongue. Jamie Mallon's sort of clunky.
It does. It's like, ugh. Anyway, yeah. She's going to get the perfect run here. Gets in on 54 kilos. Jamie Mallum is just a wonderful judge of speed. And while Nico does have that soft track query, a lot of the time when horses do have little feet problems, can be a positive to be on a on ground that has a little bit more give in it compared to rock hard good three summer ground. So clearly the one to beat. I really would love 260, 270, 280, but we'll just sort of see on the day. From a distance, I can see them backing this horse. That last start performance behind Taken was pretty good. Taken ran the big rating, obviously, with the 60 kilos. But if From a Distance improves at all off that and can just get himself into the race from Barrier 7, then I reckon it's the main danger.
Mm. From a Distance and Dark Bonnie get bot off, so that's a bonus for them.
Plus, plus. Mm. Race 5 is the Banjo Patterson Series Final. It's our 2,600-meter race on the card. There's two staying features on the card. Captain Electric is $3.70 favorite from Bold Soul. Good last start winner, $4.40. Golden State Warrior hasn't been racing like a warrior. He keeps finding one or two better, $4.60. Virtuous Circle, well supported, $5.50. And Samuel Langhorne, the only other one in single figures, is $8. Will, you've found the Liam Howley horse here.
Yeah, this is the best bet of the day. It's sick. Bang. It's Virtuous Circle. It's a staying race. This is my go. These races.
Backing a horse to peak that hasn't won in a long time. This is bot's MO.
Yeah. Yeah. No. This is. I love this horse. Like he's one of the horses that these sorts of horses are my favorites. I backed him last time, and I'd be sick if I didn't back him this time, and he wins. So it's not the Reznor backing him, but geez, it'd be sick. It was the day that Observer lost, and I had a couple other bad losses, and I'd stripped out essentially. And like I was keen on Virtuous Circle at 40s, and I was bet for a bit of money, and he squealed home into fourth, and like the sectional say he probably should have won. And he should have won there, and I think he by default he'll settle in front of a couple others here, you'd think. And I think he's the best horse in this race. He was the best horse in the race last time. And I think he's more like a 2-1 chance. These are no good. This horse ran in a Melbourne Cup. If he ran in the Victoria Derby, I'm adamant he would have won it. If you look, he's only ever been between a mile and a half and 2,600 metres. I think it's like four times in his career. Let me just double check that. They've sparely raced him at that distance. They might not have been able to get much work into him or something like that. But he's had barely any runs. He ran an enormous race at Flemington. I think that was the Bart Cummings. And he started $5 and relatively poor in the Geelong Cup than the Warrnambool Cup. That, you know, it's a Warrnambool Cup. Who cares? That form's not relevant for anything. And then was that last start. I just think he's a spectacular bet. And I think he's more like a $3 chance than $6.650 that they bet earlier today. So I'm just super keen on Virtuous Circle.
Where have you got him mapping this time?
Oh, I think he'll just sort of settle maybe 3-4 back the rail. As long as he's got horses in front of him, I don't care. If he's last, I'm just going to be pissed off. He shouldn't be last. He's drawn barrier 3. Just any sort of intent. He's not, like, he's slow out of the gates, but he's not that slow. Just get him in front of something, and he can be there. Like he's been in races where, like, in whatever, I can't be bothered explaining it. He should be at least midfield, maybe slightly worse than midfield. If he gets a gap, he'll go right past him.
Yeah. On his best form, he's certainly got a class edge on these. I could come with. Well, what price have you taken? $6.50 something.
$6.50.
Like that? Yeah. All right, let's move on to race 6 and possibly the most exciting horse of the day in the Kresik Stakes. It's a 1,200-meter listed event for the 3-year-olds. She's an Artist. Wasn't she impressive last start? Bolting him down the straight. $1.60 favorite. Fiadello was actually the favorite on that occasion. I think she went around $2.30-odd. Is now $5. Can she turn the tables? The market is saying it's less likely than more. Soft Love is $7 from Duchess Zoo, $13, and Bridal Waltz, $14. What price is a bet here? Because as good as she was on debut, what she did last start sort of caught us all by surprise.
Mm. although the market knew about it last start at the death of betting. I think it was about $5 into $4.20 in the last sort of 20 like
so
30
these are
seconds.
The things I miss when I'm playing football and I don't have the opportunity to actually see.
Yeah, no, she was hammered. Obviously, I backed Fiadello last time, and I thought he was fine. Like he probably ran like slightly worse than what I had expected of him. But he ran a respectable race. I think he ran the, you know, pretty much, like, to his level. And She's an Artist just gapped them and won by four lengths and did it under hands and heels. She'd be good for the game if she becomes like a top class sprinter. She's a very attractive horse to look at. She's big too. Like lots of the trapeze artists out there are often quite big horses. I think Jamie Mallon will suit the filly. And I think she'll probably win. But I think $1.80 is, you know, off my pricing, $1.80 is probably a bet. Whether I do that or not, I don't know. I could. Yeah. I might not. She's $1.90 on Betfair, or like edging closer to even money on the day. I'll probably have a crack. I think she's quite, like, I think she could be quite special, and you know, these might be just like sort of benchmark 90 horses.
He's used the S word.
What's the S word?
Special.
Oh, she could be really good. She ran a big rating.
Yeah.
Well, she's good.
The way I'm going to play it, as I said in race two, I'm going to play the Paddy Payne, Michelle Payne horse, Buccleuche, into this horse. If Buccleuche gets rolled and I end up getting $1.80 for this horse, and I probably will step in and have a good crack. I do struggle to see Fiadello turn the tables on on last start. It was a monster win. Another 100 metres here isn't going to do anything to slow her down. She draws the right part of the track in 9. It's going to be a soft, probably 6 track. So it's going to be softer than what it was last time. But yeah, I don't know. She's short enough right now, but what she did last time, you just don't see from horses at their second start unless they're very, very good. So yeah, I'm happily with her. Nico?
Yeah, I agree. She's definitely the one to beat. Obviously, I was on the other side of her last start. But yeah, I think she's a bit short at the moment. Hopefully she gets back out a little bit. But if she does stay around that $1.65, $1.70 mark, I think she can sort of win without me. First time wet track. Is that rating going to be for Gazy? I don't think so, but it may be. So yeah, at $1.65, $1.70 at the current quote, I'm happy just to watch her. But yeah, if she gets out to like $1.90 odd, then you're probably having a bit of a think about it.
Sweet. All right, let's move on to race 7, the Mahogany Challenge Final, another race that Nico and I probably won't love, but one that Bot will. 2,500 metres, 3-year-old. Chocolates, $4 favourite from Valor's Machine, $4.80. Politely Done, $8.50. Champagne Journey is $11 from Ant, $12. It's not a very good name for a horse. Bearings, $12. And Nico Fraud, $13. Shane Jackson saddles up Champagne Jenny here with Craig Newitt in the saddle. Craig's been pretty good on the Jenny's preparation. What do you reckon, Bob?
Yeah, she started $5 as a Chocolates at Flemington. They went really fast. They made her work to get to settle third. She had to do a lot of work to get there. She started off the campaign at 17. She went to a mile and a half last time at Sandown in a slowly run race. They necked her out the back and she ran... she closed in some unbelievable sectionals. I think she'll just about lead here. There doesn't look like a whole lot of pace on paper, but there's no pace. You know, in these sorts of races, some of these can chance their hand and there could be a bit of pressure on, but I think she just gets a really soft map to run at. And I think, you know, just off the SP alone, like off that $5 SP to Chocolates, I think she should be half the price she is now at least. Obviously Chocolates has got to go, or doesn't have to go, but I assume that he doesn't have a lot of early speed, probably settled to the back half of the field. Valor's Machine's got no speed. It's Alana Kelly and Paul Coomis. Respect to them, but it's not on a back marker anyway. It's not the scenario I want to be betting on at Flemington.
System bet.
Yeah, and the other thing as well is it's Yeah, it's a 2,500 meter race at Flemington, so it's pretty much an 100 meter, 150 meter run to the first turn. So I think that most of the jockeys don't really have time to find a position. They just sort of, most of them just have an idea of what they're going to do, and just if they want to go back, they're just going to straight to the back of the field. So this could end up being a really slowly run race, and I think Champagne Jenny gets a really, really soft time of it. Bearings is another one I could be on, was awesome, and I think it'll appreciate getting to a mile and a half and a little bit more. A lot. I think it's more like a $9 chance, and Chocolates I could just chop on as well. Those are the three of interest in this race. Stylish Secret is a little bit interesting as well here. Was wide last time. He's had some awful luck this preparation, so another one I could have something on.
Yep. I think if Valor's Machine balloons out in price, which could really happen here, with, you know, being, as Bot said, Lana Kelly and Kumis, not really a fashionable combination, I probably could end up chiming in and having something on. He's a horse who doesn't have much gate speed at all, so he will be second half of the field, but he was the best closer last time in that same Chocolates race that was won by Stop the Rock. He drops a kilo off that, and I do think he'll run out the strong 2,500 meters, so probably default to him on top, but not really that keen. Let's move on to the race of the day, race 8. It is the Listed Winter Championship Series final over the mile. Oh, too good. She was all that and more last start. She's the $2.70 favorite from Jimmy the Bear. He's a winter final specialist, $6. Cafe Millennium, $6.50. Yellow Sam is backing up here, $9.50. And also Hughes, who's been in impressive form, is $10. The speed here, well, they've all drawn right next to each other, really. Magnus Spin wants to go forward from 12, Dashing in 11, and we know Benny Allen will want to be positive from 13. Just a few quick notes. They don't want to lead on Magnus Spin. They want to take a sit behind something, so the stable have come out and said that. So there's probably an opportunity for Ben to even go straight to the front. Speaking of Ben, he will carry 55 kilos here, so he's put in the application to ride O2 Good 1 kilo over. So it's extremely frustrating, and it's a bit of a bugbear of mine that it's not updated on TAB. It's not updated on any sort of data platforms that he's riding a kilo over. So you're backing your horse and it says next to the horse 54 kilos while he's riding with 55 kilos. But you go.
Yeah, okay. I think there could be, even with Magda Spin potentially going back from the barrier,
he won't go back, but
oh,
not, well, they said they don't want to lead, that's all, but oh, they'll still go forward.
Okay. Well, I think there's going to be a bit of pace on regardless. I think Pounding and Holy Man's will be there. Red Galaxy will kick up, you'd think. Hughes wouldn't be too far away, you wouldn't have thought. Even Dashing will probably try to be there as well. I think the big map negative horse in this race is Jimmy the Bear. They obviously didn't want to show any intent to back and got handled by O2 Good there, running really, really fast time. And they just gave up so much at the start that it was impossible for him to win. The market heavily sided with Jimmy the Bear there, and I think rightly so. But obviously O2 Good went to a big new peak, and that's fair. But I just think it could come all crumbling down and fall to bits, to be honest. Like, it's one big rating. It had the perfect scenario. The main danger in the field and all the real market dangers were out the back in their own race. They essentially handed it to them. But I think it's she's a pretty easy horse to be against it at 2-1. I thought that Detonated Jack was one of interest. He started $16 in Doncaster. In the market in Group Ones, he's a really good horse. Sort of run the rust off for 220 days. First up was fine there. Probably said it was back last, but I'm fine with that. With the pace on, the one I'm gonna back is Cafe Millennium, down with 54 kilos.
The big slug.
The big slug. I think horses like Cafe Millennium and Stylish in the last race are a testament to how good the Hayes boys are as trainers. Like, they've taken this horse of, what's his name? The good like he's a good trainer. Charlton and what's his name?
John O'Shea.
Yeah, John O'Shea. Like they're good trainers, and he's like, you know, they haven't really improved him, but it's just that consistency there. I think they've obviously taken Stylish to a new level. I think it's that there's still upside with Cafe Millennium. I think that, you know, he's not. What's the word? I can't think of the word. He's going to run a rating that's puts him in. He could be a favorite here, essentially, but I don't think he is. I think O2 Good is right price, about $4.60. That's my price for it. I'm going to back Cafe Millennium. I think it's a $5.50 chance. What else have I got? That's about it, really. Just back those two, I think.
Right. Nico, what were your thoughts here?
This is another put in take out job, I think. O2 Good's clearly the best bet of the day for me. Just a standout. Drops 2 kilos versus Jimmy the Bear after more than handling it last start. They met. I think barrier 13's fine with all the speed outside. Or out wider, I should say, inside it. Or outside it. But, yeah, soft track, no queries. If Wiz is getting down to that weight, I know that's more than hard for him. Last time he got down to a similar weight to this, it was Group 1 Glory. This is not Group 1 Glory, but if he's getting down to that sort of weight for a listed race in the middle of winter after coming back from holidays, well, that's more than good enough for me. I think this is a really good horse.
Does he not normally ride 55? Like, is that not...
No.
No, he doesn't
at all. Like,
he can get 56 is still a struggle for him.
He's like your height, but probably taller.
He's tall for a jockey.
No, I'm taller than Ben Allen.
You got him? Yeah, fair.
Wiz would be one of the tallest jockeys in the jockey room. Maybe just underneath Mott, but yeah, he's tall for a jockey. He'd be 5'9".
Yeah.
I think, clear standout for me, O2 Good. I think she's just better than him. Jimmy the Bear's a nice, honest benchmark horse. Like, if he races against the sort of numbers behind him in the market, he'll beat him. But if he faces a good horse, he usually is second fiddle. That's happened twice his preparation. He's been beaten by War Machine and O2 Good, who are both better than him. So I'm sure he'll run honest, as he always does. But, yeah, I think O2 Good has a little bit more in store than this race on Saturday. So hopefully it can win this and go on to better races.
Yeah, I'm with O2 Good as well. I think she'll go forward from the
I think
the
she'll
barrier.
Get out. Sorry, I should touch on that. I think she'll get out of touch from what she is now.
Yeah. I've taken $3 with Bet365.
Yeah.
If I do see that she's on the driffy, then I'm happy to cash my bet out.
And don't be worried if she does drift, punters. I think they're gonna have to back other things in the race, I think. So don't be worried.
I think the gate is good. She's map positive compared to a lot of her main competitors. And, you know, the sign of a good horse is one that can sprint off a fast tempo. And that's what she did last start. Like, it might not be as fast as what she'll face on Saturday, but it was still a really good tempo. And, you know, I didn't know if she had that level in her, but she proved she did. And I was on Jimmy that day. Well, I'm firmly in her corner here. As I said, her main dangers are Jimmy the Bear and Cafe Millennium. And they're probably going to be spotting her 5 to 6 lengths as they turn home. So, yeah, I'm happy with O2 Good. All right, none of us had a bet in the last, but since we've done every race so far, any thoughts at all, Will, in the Leilani Series final for the fillies and mares?
Yeah, Stylish, I think I'll be on at about maybe 360. I think $3 is short enough. I think the market looked pretty much exactly right. Maybe Miss Tarzi looked a little bit big first up, but... yeah, it's an unappealing race.
Yep. Righty, that is Flemington done and dusted. Let's go around the grounds and talk about some other bets now. Rosehill Gardens, I'm backing just the one horse. 11:05 a.m. But you might still be having breakfast at this time. Might have to set an alarm for this one. It's a two-year-old open handicap, 1,100 metres. I'm backing race one, number one, drawn barrier one, and that is Raging Force, who has come back a more mature colt, gelding this time around. Started at $1.10 at Muswellbrook, broke the maiden, stylishly first up and then last start, just absolutely exploded on the Randwick Kensington track. Won by four lengths, led all the way from barrier one, should be dug up to lead again. The rail is out 8 meters from the 1,000 meters to the winning post and 7 meters the remainder. So I'm expecting an on-fence day there at Rosehill, and he is proven on a soft track. So heavy nine right now. I would expect this to get back to maybe an 8-7 at best. And I think the only dangers, from what I can see, are the debutants, because I just don't think the race form is good enough. He should skip straight to the front and be extremely hard to run down. $2.10 is the top price. I would mark him closer to $1.60, $1.70. The other one I had is here over up north, a little bit further north. It's in race 7, the Glasshouse Handicap, 1,400 meter listed event. That's number 4, Warney. Floating around that $3 mark, he was a little bit unlucky last time, just held up at a critical time. That was at Ipswich. I think Sunshine Coast will really suit him. He's drawn out wide this time. He'll probably be second half to midfield in this race. And Sunshine Coast is just such a nice, long, wide, straight. And I think he'll love that. We saw the start prior. He rattled home in the day's fastest sectionals behind Front Page. 1,400 metres is good. And I don't think a wet track holds too many fears, really. He did run third on a very heavy track behind Well Well and Arkansas Kid going back to last preparation. So, yep, very keen there. Nico, do you want to reel off our... We're back in one at Pinjarra, race 7, number 10. You on board?
Yeah, there's a chance that I may be. Definitely the one to beat.
That's repossession for Dan Jemmies.
I'm not as keen as what you are. I've got a little query with the abscess and stuff, but I think it's still the one to beat. But as I said earlier, at this time of year, you sort of you always want everything to be more in your favour than not at those sort of prices, sub $2.50, which is a place I like to play. I think it could be very feast or famine this weekend if you're diving into them all, because they've all sort of got little queries if you want to really break it down. But they all are definitely clear on top, but there's reasons that they could get beat.
Yeah. It's one of those days where you just sort of had to pick your battles, because
not
every one of these horses are going to win, and you've just sort of got to pick the eyes out of it and try and pick the right ones. But as Nico did allude to, Repossession has had a foot abscess, so was out of work for a couple of days. I think he was actually meant to run in a 1,200-meter race, and then he was accepted anyway. They scratched from that. I'm not sure if that was because of the abscess or because they just wanted to keep him at 1,000. Whatever the case is, I wouldn't have been anywhere near as keen if he went to 12 compared to what he's here. 1,000 metres down the Pinjarra straight. He exploded down the straight last time, carrying Ryan Houston, who actually rode a decent race. Now gets Brad Parnham, draws middle of the line, and gets in on the minimum. So he's a late-season three-year-old who drops from 59 kilos down to 54, and his two main dangers, which are Taropa and Final Siren, draw 1 and 2. And if you've never watched the race at Pinjarra down the straight, the whole field pretty much just beelines for the outside fence. So, yeah, if he's over those feed issues, then I think he's a good bet. Bot, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, no, just looking at the numbers, he looks like good bet.
All right, sweet. Nico, do you want to reel off your warnable bets?
Yeah, too easy. Race 1, we're with number 4, Farag. I think he was better than Stockman last time. I think he'll be better at warnable on a bigger track. I've had enough of Stockman. He had every chance to go past Ferraro Shires at warnable and didn't, and he had the absolute PR last time, with Farag having, things against him and still couldn't do it. So, I've had enough of him. He might have Pateman on, but I don't think that'll save him. So, Farag clearly on top. Think he's probably, well, he is the best bet of the day, because if something goes awry with this next play that we're going to have, oh, they'll be lining up, queuing up to just to bash
just
me.
Just quickly. Farag ran second behind Highland Blaze during the carnival as well, didn't he?
Yes.
He ran huge.
Yeah.
Back at your man in Nico.
Yeah, Flash well, Gordon's it'd be, on. It'd be really just it'd be fitting for him to shaft me again, wouldn't it?
I bet he. I hope he listens and just necks it. Just for the sake of it.
Thanks, you prick.
No, I agree with you there. I'm keen.
Race two through Irish Eye is definitely the horse to beat, but it's not really a bet that I want to have at even money. There's a couple of horses that could improve. That need to, albeit in Bitcoin and Hit the Road Jack, but not a race I want to play in. And the next bet I want to have is a double, race three, number two, Loft. He's simply just better than them. The wet track will be fine, I think, if Jacko's going to run him. It's on the circle with being the hurdle race, so it's not going to be as heavy as the paddock. I've got no queries with him. He'll just tuck in behind him and he'll give him a whipping, I would think. Nasak Diamond is a horse I want to follow later in the season. I don't think it's races on Saturday, but it's a quality galloper, and she has a good race or two in store for her not too far away. And then we'll head to...
Enchanted Al on the backup. You haven't given her a mention.
Don't even.
Does that happen often? Jumpers on the backup?
Nah, not often. Well, at Warrnambool on the Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
They run in the Briley and then the...
Well, normally there's a couple of weeks in between the meetings, but...
Oh, my God. What if Enchanted Al knocks Loft off?
Oh,
couldn't possibly.
Don't even speak that into
couldn't
existence.
Possibly.
She skipped away.
Yeah, she skipped away and dug her toes right in the ground. Race five, Stern. It's a bit sad that there's only five runners in this race, but I suppose that's just the aura that he has. He scares a lot of rivals off. It is. He's the best stable chaser.
Baseline racing aura.
Yeah, that's just how it is. He's the second leg of the double. He'll win. Leaderboard will run honest into second, but yeah, I think Stern will be too good. So that's the double I want to have. Race three and race five.
Noonday Gun versus Prismatic. Any thoughts?
Yeah, Noonday clearly on top, but $1.70 short enough. Yeah, Chuck, I wouldn't talk you out of having the treble.
Who's Jordan Hart, the 3 kilo claimer?
He rides a lot for Jacko.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't matter. Noonday, he'll give them a beating.
Yeah.
So right, yeah, sweet. That's that.
Will, any other bets? Friday, Sunday, country, no. Saturday?
No.
No. Hong Kong is pretty average, I'm sure of it. It's the Saturday meeting. I've got a little bone to pick with punters because for some reason the Hong Kong fields aren't loading onto the punters app. They're on the website but not the app, so you've got to go on the Hong Kong Jockey Club website, and the format they use is just horrendous. But anyway, I don't think there are any bets. There is one international race. It's the Coral Eclipse. And obviously Prince of Wales, dominant winner, Ombudsman, who is rated the best horse in the world right now. He's the Godolphin champ. He's very short.
I thought Field of Gold was. Oh, and Kai Ying Rising.
I'm pretty sure one set of ratings anyway had Ombudsman now number one, just based off that Prince of Wales run. But
that's bollocks.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't agree with it anyway. But
Kai Ying Rising's the best horse in the world. He's got to be.
Yeah, I would say so. But I don't think they do have him as number one.
That's unbelievable.
Time for him, dude. Ombudsman, $1.90. Sosi, $5.50. Delacroix, $5.50. Camille Presiro is $8. Ruling Court, $13. So very good race. I apologize to those who I tipped into Anmart at a big price. He was $15 out to $17. unfortunately, they haven't accepted because they want softer ground, and we've done our money. He wasn't the main bet for me in this race, but I just thought he was well overs. The main bet is taking Ombudsman to win this race into Field of Gold to win the Sussex, and I've had a bit of a decent crack at that. So if you can still get $4 for that double, then yeah, that's tasty. But I think, what did I get? I got $2.75 into $2, which is $5.50. All right, back, lay, pray. Who wants to go first?
I'll back Virtuous Circle. I'll lay O2 Good, and I will Champagne Jenny.
All right. So your podcast multi-tip is Virtual Circle?
Yes.
Well, sweet. That's just a scratching anyway. That never wins.
You let us down last week, Bot. You know, Nico and I both tipped a $4 best bet. I had Alden Boy, and Nico had Opportunistic. Both won at sort of $3.80 odd.
Mercurial, how did that not go past? That wasn't... Oh, that was sickening.
Yeah, and the one I mentioned fended it off. Zarpo.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just another week for the podcast, multi. best bet for me is O2 Good. Clear standout on the day. I don't really have a lay or a best value. I'm only really just keen on O2 Good. Chips into her for me. So, yeah, keen on Sunday, those two plays that I'm going to have. But, yeah, not a lot of value for me this weekend, unfortunately.
All right. I'll just take the cheap way out and go She's an Artist for the podcast multi. So that's race 5, race 6, and race 8, Flemington. That just makes it nice and simple. You get 25-1 for the treble, and I reckon you might even get a little bit better than that on the day. I don't really have many each-way bets.
Wait, sorry, 25-1 for the treble?
Yeah.
What was your one?
$1.60. She's an Artist.
Ah, okay. I see.
I mean, I could do something outrageous, but there's just no need to. Mm. I honestly don't have a best each-way. So I'm just going to skip that one. And my best lay would probably be in the sprint race, just to take on Marble Nine. As Bot said, he's a consistent horse, but Parade does have a bigger ceiling and might be able to knock it off. There's probably a couple that can knock it off if they run to their peak, but yeah, I'm just happy to take him on around the $3 mark. All right, let's get to a couple of questions before we wrap up. Not doing too bad for time. Go to Twitter first. B2B, this is the Mr. Buckaroo on Twitter. Nice and simple, what's the max bet of the weekend? It's got to be She's an Artist, doesn't it? If there was just one.
Virtuous Circle.
Oh, too good for me.
All right. Well, there's the podcast multi. Roxas FC. So you will a cheeky roughie in race 4 at Flemington. What's going on here, Bot? You didn't even mention it. Your namesake.
Yeah, that was a good result one day. But no.
No. Mr. Brightside, this is a good question. Why do non-gelded male horses have to carry 2 kilos extra when they already have a fifth leg?
Shot. Well, how much do horses' balls weigh?
2 stone.
That's not bad.
That's good for me.
You're not a dad, but that passes a dad joke.
Oh, I don't think I am.
I hope not, anyway.
Oscar
Imagine
Gordon.
A little Ben running around, racking up 50 disposals in an Auskick.
It'd be a pig in the Auskick. Wouldn't give the other kids a chance. Oscar Gordon, if you had to pick one horse to win a Group 1 in the spring who hasn't won one yet, who are you picking and why?
Observer.
Well, Autumn. It's got to be Autumn Glow, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Autumn
Glow.
Probably.
Autumn Glow.
Autumn Boy. Autumn Boy, Autumn Glow. How good is the Autumn Sun going to be as a stallion?
Yeah.
Yeah, Autumn Glow, she's only got a rating of 98 because she hasn't won a Group 1 yet. She's a Group 1 winner in waiting. But that rating means she's going to get into the Epsom with a weight of like 52 kilos maybe. And she might
be a weighted certainty.
She might be the biggest certainty in an Epsom since Winks. Chris, over and unders 4.5 on Taji stage wins during TDF. I don't know what this means, but apparently it's a bot question.
He means Tadej Pogacar and how many win, how many stage wins.
I'd say, this is a cyclist. This is a bloody cyclist.
Yeah, this is the Tour de France. I'd say probably over. Well, I don't know what the over's paying, but I'd probably say over.
Yeah.
I'd probably have 5, I reckon.
Yeah. Ryan Patton, he's got the question of the week yet again. It's not really a question. It's more.
He's not bad at these, aren't he? Isn't he? Like,
he's very good.
Yeah.
Every time he puts up something like funny, he gets more likes than the actual post.
He ratios you. Ratios.
Don't know about that. Kent Jr. half ratioed me, but I don't know about that. I don't know about this one. Nico said on the podcast last week, at least the Bombers are morals this week. Can't get beaten by the bye.
Let's not talk about this.
The Bombers have copped 3 injuries this week. Parrish, Redmond, Langford. I'd say the bye's got the chockies in that clash. The bye wish they played the Bombers every week. And you can add Reed to the list. Anything to say about that? I think you're solely responsible.
I've got a conspiracy theory about this.
You have a conspiracy theory
I think Marvel's deck might have something to do with it because now Collingwood have even getting in injuries there. Might not just be the hanger. Might be Marvel too. But oh, anyway, it's a basket case. Anyone that follows me on Instagram would see what I said today. Another year to the life sentence.
SCG and Marvel both in the middle.
Let's not get started about the SCG and Laura Kane thinking it was acceptable to play on.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Patton also said, also keen to hear Nico's thoughts on Flash Gordon's ride on Enchanted Al.
We don't need to bring that back up. It was ridiculous. Should have got suspended.
Bit of a sore spot still upon us. A couple of Instagram questions. Max Mini, for Nick, thoughts on a failed Greyhound trainer and punter taking pot shots?
Talks cheap, like the rest of the scumbags on Twitter. Do you really expect anything less?
There you go. Dave Mayfield Smith, recently signed up to the 6 day, so good on you, Dave. Is Chocolates a play now out to 2,500 metres?
Maybe, I'll probably chop on it.
But I know she's by shocking, but any query with that last 200 metres last time?
No, if anything, it was just like it was dour. Like it'll, I think it'll probably appreciate further.
Yeah. All right. Jack Jenner, take Via Sestina out. Who's up there for the horse of the year? So not factoring in Via, who's obviously a moral to win it. Who's next best?
Via out.
Via out market, Betfair.
I don't know.
Antenna.
What's won anything?
Antenna's close, yeah.
Yeah, he's won a couple races. I don't know.
Who's won the sprints?
They've all, like, Ballinipatina. No, was that last? That was last year.
Ballinipatina won the Everest last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bella's only been there for half a year, but she's
Briasa.
Yeah, probably only this year. Jimmy Starr's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been all right.
It's got to be Antenna, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Probably. Two monster Group 1 wins and a couple Group 1 placings. I mean, Mr. Brightside, you can't forget about him. He's still been decent, but probably not.
Mm.
Jakey Weggs, how has Nick copped the barrage on Twitter about? This question is interestingly worded. How has Nick copped the barrage on Twitter about it not being his fault he tipped the loser?
So it's water off a duck's back. Got to talk about something.
It's entertaining to say the least.
Yeah, it's just another day in the life of.
Alec Martin, one piece of advice / something you've learned that improved your analysis, your form analysis. Probably two main ones for me. Track your bets, like track your wins and your losses. I've been doing that since I was 18. And the other one that really made my form go from just watching races and like I'd do back in my eye to still to a certain extent, but you know, getting punting form and then getting Form King just sort of took it to that next level. So yeah, tracking your bets and then getting a decent sort of database. Anyone else?
Same.
Nico, yes. What makes you such a good punter, mate?
Oh.
Everything.
Yeah. No. Oh, I don't know. You just got to.
This is a second coming, mate.
You just got to find what you like and find what you think helps you and just narrow down on that.
I think one of the biggest things you've got to have as a punter is just have clarity with the bets you have.
Mm.
Don't be having bets and then you regret them after because you miss something or whatever. If you have your bets and you lose or you win and you can go away from it saying, you know, you're not disappointed with those decisions you made, then that's one of the biggest things.
Hmm.
Damon Winley, what are the best futures bets and why is it Autumn Glow to remain unbeaten? Well, Kaying Rising wins the Everest, Autumn Glow wins the Epsom, and hopefully Sir Delius wins the Melbourne Cup. If all three of those things happen, we are all going to Hawaii, and I'll pay for
Hawaii.
It.
Pray.
You've decided yeah. Hawaii.
Yeah.
Why Hawaii?
I don't know. That's what Gator said one day.
Hawaii's nice.
After he won his big parlay. Nick Goss, has Bot taken Nick for a steak dinner with all the trimmings yet?
Not yet.
Where are we going?
Meet one
and Marcus.
Maybe we'll go for a Francois date.
Maybe.
Fruitbag, Lockie. Just in case Bots forgot, would Observer win race one at Wyong on Saturday?
Oh, fuck me.
still not letting
yes.
go.
No, God. No. I mean, yes, he would. Yes. Yeah. I don't know what's there, but yes, he would.
Wyong is very much like the Sandown Lakeside track that he won at two starts back. Travel right. later. Coop Serwin, can we get a Collingwood Carlton preview? No, I don't even want to speak about this game. Honestly, I'll be tucked into bed at 9:30, get a nice, nice long sleep before my game on Saturday. Coopsack, you know, credit to him. He offered me some tickets. He obviously works at Collingwood, and I said, thank you very much, but no thank you. I'm not doing that to myself and my mental health. Coop Serwin, which horses are you most looking forward to? Only two more questions, boys. Which horses are you most looking forward to at each age group this spring? 3, 4, 5+. Oof.
Hmm. 4.
I think he's saying from each thing.
Oh, right. Not right, which you age go, group.
You pick one, and then I'll pick another one, and then... So you go 3-year-old, this horse. I'll go 4-year-old and then whatever.
Lady Shenandoah.
So she'll be a...
4.
4-year-old.
Yeah.
I'll go 3-year-old and say Autumn Boy. But older horses.
Antino.
Antino 5+. I think he's turning 6. Damon Winley, need some suggestions for a Pinatubo / Yamazaki colt. I'm in.
Is he talking about names or what?
Yeah, he's got to name a colt. Buy Pinatubo out of Yamazaki. Yamazaki was she was an Aussie mare, but she just had a Japanese name.
I'll ask ChatGPT for him.
Yamatubo.
Kawasaki. Yeah, Pinatubo, turbo engine, Yamazaki, sounds like Kawasaki.
All right, I've got Pinayama, Yamabu, Yamakabu, Pinataki, Yamapin, Mount Pin, in reference to Mount Fuji and Pinatubo's volcanic nature, Eruption's Glory, referencing Pinatubo's volcanic name and the strength of Yamakaze.
Wow. Yamatubo sort of works. Even though it's you haven't really worked that hard to come up with that name, have you? But anyway, hopefully you find a good name. I still reckon Kawasaki. All right, let's
something to do with volcano.
Yeah, let's sign off there, punters. heaps more punting this week compared to last week. Hopefully it's another profitable one. Hopefully we can get that podcast multi up. We were 2 out of 3 last week. So good luck this week, gents. Hopefully we can get some wins on the board.
Fingers crossed.